The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, we hear one of those scripture passages that we know so well. Though, at times, this has been more hurtful than helpful to Christian life. It feels like a setup, like we must choose between the contemplative life or the responsible one, a distinction that Jesus himself seems to be making, that one is somehow better than the other. Better to be a Mary, better to be a Mary than a Martha. So this distinction has been felt, as you might imagine, most profoundly by women, as it is women who are historically responsible for the domestic roles of a household, making sure that the family is fed and clothed and cared for, seeing that if there are children, that they're in school, that the bills are paid and that the home is running smoothly. And also being responsible for the hospitality in a home. For many women, being a Martha is a necessity, a Mary, a luxury. So this week, in talking about this scripture with a group of my friends, one of them said, "You know, when I had four children under the age of 8, in my home, I'd get so mad at this story. There was always something to do for the kids in the house. I spent hours in the car. Who had time to sit quietly and contemplate life when things had to get done? It made me feel like I was failing as a Christian woman." And then she turned to me and said, "Was Jesus serious?" I believe that he was, but not serious in the way my friend was thinking or feeling. Rather, in a way that brings together our actions and contemplation, a way that points in one direction, not two. So let me start by asking this question. Can you recall a time when you were so engaged, so swept away with what you were doing that you forgot about time? No worries, no to-do lists, no running commentary going on in your mind about what you should be doing. Completely in the moment. It doesn't happen often, does it? I had to think pretty hard on it myself. But I can recall the first time I held my baby grandson Ryder in my arms. I couldn't take my eyes off his perfect and precious face. I cradled him in my arms and rocked as he slept. The warmth of his little body and the rhythm of his breath captivated me. All I could do was stare at him in amazement. For how long? I can't remember. What my memory holds is that feeling of joy and contentment in this baby boy and the promise of our relationship as grandchild and grandmother. And for a little while, I did forget about any cares of the world and all the usual things that keep me from being fully present. Nothing could hold me back from my love for this little miracle in a blue blanket, a love divine and eternal. I believe this is what Jesus is serious about, what he means by the better part. He isn't approving of Mary sitting at his feet over Martha's work and plea for help, or lifting up one way of Christian life over another. Jesus' answer to Martha isn't an admonishment either. It's an invitation. He's inviting us to get caught up into the joy of being in his presence, if only for a little while. He's inviting us to forget all the things that hold us back from joy and love. All the many worries, insecurities, and fears that keep us from simply being with Jesus. In our scriptures a few weeks ago, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus sets his face to Jerusalem with purpose and determination to get to the cross, to complete his ministry. Yet, he takes time here to linger with friends. And he calls us to do the same, to linger with the people we love, to engage in the practices that refresh us, and to spend time in the places that are sacred to us. And we're to carry these moments with us into the rest of what we do in our days and our lives. Even in the busyness of the work to be done each day, there is still nothing more important than living in the eternal now of our relationship with God. This is a spirituality that we can practice while preparing dinner or doing the dishes, working in the office, or painting a house, driving children to school or commuting to work, riding your bike, or playing bridge, reading a book, or checking on our social media. It's not what we are doing that matters as much as our attentiveness to God's presence and purpose in, with, and under all our various activities and responsibilities. A practice that brings together what we do with who we are as God's beloved people. It points us towards God. This scripture is really about Jesus and how much he wants to draw us all into a relationship that lifts us beyond the everyday limitations of life, that we might get a glimpse, if only for a few moments at a time, the sacred in the mundane, the extraordinary in the ordinary, and the holiness which each and every moment of our lives is filled with. Jesus is serious. Serious about how our lives are meant for love and joy in all we do. So, what might you do today and tomorrow and the next day, knowing that God is with you, ready to join in? Let's get busy. Amen.